If you have your Bibles, I'm going to be looking at one verse from Malachi chapter 1 and also a little bit in Romans. And so if you want to follow along, that's where we'll be looking. The question for our little devotional tonight is, how can you tell if God loves you? How can you tell? That's the question that's posed in Malachi chapter 1, verse 2. And this is what it says. I have loved you, says the Lord. Yet you say, in what way have you loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, says the Lord? Yet Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated. So if you're a Christian, you, given enough time in your experience as a follower, you are going to come to a point one day where you're going to wonder, does God love me? Does he love me? And that question typically comes to mind when things are going wrong and when things are staying wrong with the situation. It could be job troubles. It could be money troubles. It could be health troubles. It could be relationship problems, marriage or family meltdowns. It could even just be your own emotional troubles. You feel dead inside and it's just gone on for months. And you wonder, does God love me? That's the context for Malachi, this last book in the Old Testament. Israel had been a great nation. There was Moses. There were the dynasty of the kings. There were the tabernacle and the temple. But over the centuries, they had drifted and departed from God, despised him. And so he eventually sent in the Assyrians, sent in the Babylonians, and they were just all the people were carried away. The city was destroyed, the temple was removed. But 50 years after the destruction of Jerusalem and the deportation, God began to bring the people back. And under the leadership of Ezra and Nehemiah, they started to rebuild the city, Jerusalem. They started to rebuild the temple. And that's the context for Malachi. It's somewhere in those days. So they're back in the land. And if you recall from Nehemiah, they're kind of scraggly, kind of puny. It's very easy to count who's there. It's very easy to notice who's not there. It's just not pretty. Israel, the nation, is weak. They're small. And their question would go something like this: Lord, we are still here. We're still alive as a people. But this is hardly the glory and the strength of a favored people, a favored nation. There's nothing in our lives that looks admirable right now. And they would be correct if they were to say that and think that about themselves, at least some of that. As their nation was cleared off of the board by the Babylonians, as Israel was cleared off, their adjacent nation, sibling nation, Edom, they were doing fine. They were secure. They prospered, according to what commentators say. So while Israel kind of just had a wipeout and was washed out, Edom, next to them, they did fine. They prospered. So remember, when you think of Israel and Edom, remember that Israel was the nation descending from Jacob. And Edom, that adjacent nation, was descended from Esau. And Jacob and Esau were brothers, two brothers who became these nations in the Middle East. Jacob's nation, Israel, at this point had sunk into defeat and scattering. Edom, Esau's nation, Edom, stood strong and even gloated over Israel. So that was the position. Israel knew that they were nothing to be admired. Meanwhile, their brother nation, Edom, doing just fine. The contrast couldn't be clearer. And in this verse, Malachi says, the Lord is speaking, and he's saying, you're wondering, Israel, you're wondering. You're wondering if I, the Lord, love you. You're doubting that I love you. And the Lord says, look at Esau. Look at Esau, Jacob's brother. Jacob have I loved. Esau have I hated. And so when you've got this weird contrast in how poorly Israel is doing and how well Edom is doing, and how they're wondering, does God love us? Is this what it looks like to be loved by God? Here's the point. Don't judge God's love by how well your life is going. Don't judge whether you're loved by God by how well your life is going. Don't let your career success tell you you've got the Lord's favor. Don't let your career failure tell you that you're lacking the Lord's favor. And you might have some struggle in your life. You might have some pain, some disappointment in your life. That doesn't indicate that God despises you. God is saying here, I bruised Jacob. Bruised Jacob is the one I loved. Booming Esau is the one whom I hated. Well, if that's the truth, and that's what is taught here, if that's the truth, well, how do you tell whom God loves? How can you tell who it is that God loves? You don't look at who God blesses. You look at this. You look at the one to whom God binds himself. You don't look at the external blessings. You look at the one to whom God binds himself. You look at the one that God swears a commitment to. So it's a completely different metric. It's a completely different way of evaluating. And this is exactly what happened with Jacob and Esau, the two brothers, 1,400 years earlier. This is what happened with them. Both the brothers, they weren't even born yet. The Lord committed himself to Jacob over Esau, not because of merit, not because he foresaw how each of these two boys would turn out. Both of the brothers were undeserving, each in their own way. But God selected Jacob in Genesis 25. He bound himself eternally to the younger brother, Jacob. He bound himself. He committed himself forever, in perpetuity. Now, you hear all this, you're like, okay, how does this apply to anything for me tonight? Well, you ought to ask God if he loves you. That's an appropriate question. It's a good question to ask God, do you love me? But you need to be clear. You can't look at the blessings in your life to get the answer to that question. That's the wrong place to look. It will steer you wrong. You have to know this. Has God bound himself to me? Has God committed himself to me? That is how you can know if God loves you. Even in, especially in, times of darkness, times of discouragement. Has God bound himself to you? If you look at Romans chapters 9 through 11, Paul in Romans 9 through 11, three very meaty, very linear chapters, takes this very verse in Malachi that we're looking at, takes this Malachi passage, and he addresses this question. So Romans 9, 11, it says, for the children not yet being born, nor having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him who calls. It was said to her, the older shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated. So you've got this same verse addressing this very question. Romans 9 through 11 carefully probes the question of whom has God called? To whom has God committed himself? Whom has God loved? Whom has God committed himself to? Whom has God loved? It's answered there in Romans chapter 10, verse 9. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. If you believe that Jesus Christ is your righteousness, that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, that God saves you by this faith, that means God has committed himself to you. That means God loves you. Don't look at your circumstances. Look at your Savior. Are you saved? Then yes, God loves you.